I'll move over, Swanson. I'm driving.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trading Places Minute. This is the show where we watch the film Trading Places 1 minute at a time and then talk about each of those minutes in order as they happen. My name is Tom Taylor, and I'm here with my friend Mike, Mike DiMaria.
Well, a lot going on in the first couple seconds of this one.
You'll get to
your bookends.
We'll get to our discussion, and we'll be joined in that discussion with our friend Dan.
Hello,
Dan Lewis.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything.
Okay. Mark Campbell.
Yeah, Mark Campbell. Mavora.
Say something about Captain America, Steve Rogers.
I don't know.
Damanon.
Mark Mattis, I don't know.
Plot's starting to come together, guys.
Speaking of the bookends, do you like when you're out at the pub or something, do you talk to your friends or people you stop by? I'm the guy that does the bookends. Like, is it written in your contract that you get a little more slice of the pie because you do the bookends?
Me?
Nobody else does.
I stop people on the street and I say, hey, listen, I do the bookends.
If we decided, like, okay, Dan's going to do the bookends, does his contract get renegotiating? It's a bump?
Because it's like
doing a segment, you know, like, oh, now we're going to go to the bookends segment.
I think doing the bookends does come with the trivia, the bookends, all the features. I think they do come with.
I guess it is more of a responsibility because you have to kind of have the basics.
Sometimes you get stopped on the street and someone says, are you do the Trading Places Minute? Yeah, that's me.
That's
and
me.
And they go, I was wanted to know, who's doing the bookends? Which one of you guys?
Is it Dan Lewis? No, it's not Dan Lewis.
No,
it's me, Tom Taylor.
Dan Lewis
I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, if you're doing the bookends, do you get you get a little higher billing?
I don't know if I get higher billing. To be fair, if one of you took over the job of doing the things, you might do it totally differently. And I could put in a lot less effort. I could also just wing it and not even do the book. I could be like, okay, this movie begins with a guy getting shoved to the ground and it ends with the guy, standing or something.
That's pretty much it. That's all you need to do. But I think you put the extra time in, which is good. That's why you do it. Because I would do it just like you said.
Maybe there'd be a charm with that. We don't know. But
there's so much in this minute.
But here's what I did do. Here's the bookends that I created for us. And like you sometimes point out, it's a little more than bookends sometimes. I try to fill in the minute a little bit, give a description of the minute, not just the beginning and end. But it begins with Clarence Beeks violently shoving a pedestrian to the ground. And then we see Randolph soothe Mortimer's worries about using Beeks for both the crop report caper and the scientific experiment. And as the members of the club file into the big room, the minute ends with Beeks slipping something into Lewis's jacket pocket.
Well, not slipping. He kind of like forced. Like, how do you not feel that?
It is a little rough and obvious, yeah.
It is,
but
yeah.
But Lewis, I don't know, maybe since you're not expecting something like that, it goes by without you noticing, I don't know.
You don't remember it because it happens all the time, someone runs into people, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some guy
we were lamenting last minute that this moment got split in half, guy bumps into Clarence Beeks.
Oh, I'm glad it did, though.
Violently shoved to the ground.
Because it's right at the moment of throw. And excuse me, that's dubbed in. Excuse me.
Oh yeah,
I can't
definitely
tell who's saying it. Is it Beeks, or is it the other guy?
I think it is Beeks, but I don't know for sure.
But I'm going to give you my take on this. I'm just going to get right through it.
Please do it.
A lot of stuff going on here.
Yes.
First off, there's trench coats everywhere in this fucking scene. The guy got thrown to the ground's wearing a trench coat. Beeks wearing a trench coat. The guy with the mustache that comes around the corner is wearing a trench coat. That was the thing, right? That was the '80s. I mean,
I guess so.
It's not warm.
It's not warm, though. It's not warm.
It's not warm. It will not surprise either of you to learn that I own a trench coat, and I got it a long time ago. It was not warm. It's like, oh, I got to get dressed up and go to church or whatever, and I got to wear a trench coat because it goes with the thing, and I'm going to freeze.
That's how long that coat is.
Yeah, it looked like Inspector Gadget.
Insane.
And the guy that gets thrown to the ground has some nice Sorels on, some nice Sorel boots.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We used to like those back in the day in high school because they were expensive. You put them on, and we'd wear them to school, and we'd wear them all day with the uniform.
Yeah. I just saw some very nice. Do you know Blundstone? Those guys.
Oh yeah.
It's from Australia, I think. These boots. I own a pair now, and they're really nice. Yeah, they're slip-ons, and they're all leather. But then they've got like on the sides, there's like the elastic kind of area that makes it slip-onable, kind of ankle height thing.
It's like the businessman commuting from Connecticut to New York. That's like the commuter boot, right?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
dressy
but I was just
enough.
At, I was just at LL Bean, and they had a version of that with the. With the that fabric that elastic part was all like a red and black tartan. It was very nice. Yeah, very sexy. Yeah,
it's perfect for Tommy.
It's like you just shot a duck, and now you have to go get it.
Now you send the hound dog for it.
And then from LL Bean, Dan, he goes to Don Thomas Sport House. Did they have that in Connecticut, Don Thomas?
No, but I'm going along with it.
That was a Birmingham. You go there and you spend $6,000 on a jacket that costs $25 at the Dunham Sporting Goods.
Right.
We had the Darien Sports Shop where I come from. And I walked in there one day recently and I was like, oh, I'm going to go. My friend's out in California. My friend Paul Yates, he used to live here. He would love it if I got him this very charming, preppy, fabric belt that has Darien on it or like the Blue Wave, which is our high school mascot or whatever. I'll get him one of these. That'll be, I'm like, $80 for this belt? Get out of here. No way am I going to spend $80 on this belt. No way.
I guess you didn't really love him enough.
He whips this guy to the ground. He whips this guy. I don't give a shit about this story, Tom. He whips the guy to the ground with ferocity. The guy lands flat on his back like a turtle.
Right.
Yeah. He's just down.
And the most impressive thing, which makes me think that they affixed it to the glove, that newspaper does not, he doesn't let go of the newspaper.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
This reminds me of Randy in A Christmas Story.
Yeah, when
he's like on the ground and he's he just played dead. It was his only defense.
Yeah, he's laying there like
the last thing I gotta say. The last thing I gotta say about this is that this is a typical New York scene because the guy from making the hot dogs doesn't turn around. The guy's obviously heard a big thud. Nobody reacts to this guy getting whipped to the ground. And that's all
I got. I do remind you that it's a Philadelphia scene. It's not a New York scene, but it would play in New York just as well.
I'm guessing that Philadelphia was suffering some of the same problems that New York was in the 1980s.
Yeah. Big I think city Dan, difference. Good friend, will tell you about the people in Philadelphia and how lovely they are.
Yeah. Bill Burr.
Same individuals that whip batteries at sporting events.
God.
Yeah.
God damn. Is that a thing? That.
Yeah, my friend moved out of Philadelphia because he got mugged and then they left.
He got pistol whipped. Grief.
He got pistol whipped.
He got literally pistol whipped.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I saw him and he had a big stitch. When he was in town after that, he had a big stitch on his head.
Yep. He had the big stitch. I wonder if people have always been hitting people with weapons that are much worse than that. Like, this guy hit me with a bow and arrow. Over the head.
just fucking shoot me with it, right?
That wouldn't hurt as much, though, I don't think. The bow and arrow seems kind of light.
I got hit with a catapult over my head.
Yeah.
With a mace.
Just with a mace.
I cracked over the head with a bazooka.
with the butt end of a mace, not with the ball.
Not the ball end with the spikes on it, but the butt end, the part with the leather.
Yeah.
It's like Henry Hill when he walks across the street and beats the guy with his...
He beats that guy up.
He beats that preppy guy from Connecticut.
Right. It's like Muhammad Ali kicked me. Or something.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali kicked me.
Did we all pick up on the? I've seen this movie 1,000 times, and I only just picked up on the beautiful, subtle humor of we see Beaks shove the guy to the ground, and then we cut right to the Duke brothers and Mortimer saying, "I hope we're not pushing our luck using Beaks for the orange juice thing and the Lewis thing."
I think you're stretching.
That's
there,
not that. That's gorgeous. That humor is so subtle, so as to not even be there.
It's so funny.
So subtle that it wasn't intentional.
So subtle that it doesn't exist. It
doesn't work at all.
That's like me saying, oh, the guy hung on to his paper because he didn't want to let it go. And then the next scene, when the bell rings, you got all these stuffed shirts folding their papers.
That's right. Yeah. They know when to put down the paper.
Yeah, if you want to go down that road, Tom, we could do this all day long.
Right. This is the Trading Places Minute. I was a... Not to skip ahead, but Mortimer says, hey, like I said, are we pushing our luck? Are we going to ruin things by having Beaks, help us out with the orange juice thing and with the Lewis thing? And I was thinking, wait, does that actually mess them up? And I think it absolutely does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it brings the two worlds together now.
It does because later on,
it was the Duke.
Like they know that they're mad at the Dukes. They know the Dukes screwed them over eventually.
Yeah.
But it's seeing Clarence Beaks on the TV. That makes them both stand up and shout, Clarence Beaks.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they know how to get back at them.
The answer to his question is that, yes, they are pushing it too far.
They fucked themselves.
Right. They did.
He flew too close to the sun.
They flew too close to the sun, right.
It had to happen.
and Icarus with the wings. Mm-hmm. And is it a coincidence that, is it subtle humor that his name is Beaks, which also comes from a bird?
Of course. That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay. Yep. That's a subtle
humor. Made a fortune in feathers. Smart guy.
Made a lot of money.
And following Tom's, coincidence or just making random thoughts. When they enter the room. Yeah. They enter the room and they have the above shot of that semicircle table and the green and the color. It looks like a craps table, like the corner of a craps table. So what are they saying there, Tom? Huh?
They're saying Eddie Murphy sort of alludes to later, that it is just a big gamble. They're all rolling their dice. The whole stock exchange thing is just like, you know, legalized gambling.
No, there's nothing to do with that.
I think it's more about crap, like poop.
Yeah, and it's also,
they're all about to poop.
Yeah, and the Dukes are rolling the dice with, including Beaks. See, if you want to go down this road, Tom, that you talk about, where
it'll never end.
This is probably them. Yeah, it'll never end because
fun, aren't we?
It's all fucking bullshit. Nothing's thought out like this, Tom. But if you want to pretend that it is, we could do this all day long.
But who knows what discoveries we're going to make?
We could have a podcast that looks at this minute by minute, and we can pick it out.
Making movies really hard. You ask them while they're making their movie, like, say, is that a coincidence? Because he's going to sit down and say he's pushing it. And the director's going to go, no, I got other things to worry about right now. I'm not doing that.
Or he's going to say, yes, I thank you for noticing that. I totally
at the end of the day, from Scorsese to Tarantino, they just make a fucking movie. And then after they make the fucking movie, they decide what they're going to say in the interviews.
Yes.
And say, this is what I was thinking, man. You know, I was really thinking about this, man.
I agree with Mike. No thought is put into making movies.
No, you get the script and you say, you stand there.
Mike's going too far in the other direction now. Movies don't have any meanings in them.
No.
I turn the camera on, I point it at these two paid actors.
And I just hope something interesting happens. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe John Travolta will dance with Uma Thurman. I don't know. Yeah. They seem like good dancers.
You got some film in that camera?
Make I'm just sure gonna let it roll and see what happens.
Yeah.
Just let it roll.
Write
and
a script.
Yeah, I got a script. You know, I need to overthink this shit.
Sometimes magic happens. You pay a guy to write down a story and all the words that all the actors are going to say, and then you point a camera at them and they say it, and it's magic. It just all comes together somehow.
Yeah, and they say at the end, they say, "Okay, let's watch this thing, and okay, let's make up what we were thinking at this time, so we look brilliant."
Yeah.
It's like in Goodfellas. Like, I don't care. Just put any music you want behind those. We didn't know.
Yeah, that's true. Goodfellas is made in a little bit of a slipshod manner. This weird music cuts like halfway through the song into the same song. Yeah. And then goes into the Rolling Stones for like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And then the scenes don't really make sense.
Who put Layla over this scene? I never intend. Oh, yes. Thank you for noticing my brilliant decision.
Thanks for
to
noticing.
Layla
it is kind of a
doesn't
messy
matter
movie.
It doesn't matter what you what's playing when you can see Carbone's body in the freezer.
You gotta hear Derek and the Dominoes.
It's supposed to be Crazy Train. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All aboard.
Frankie Carbone.
With Frankie Carbone's in Frozen. He looks like Eugene Levy in that shot, if you ever look at
it. He does look a little bit like a frozen Eugene Levy.
It's a frozen Eugene Levy.
You thaw it out. It's Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
It's good eating.
That's what they say.
Yeah. You freeze him, it's Eugene Levy. You thaw him out, it's Frankie Carbone.
Yeah.
Frankie Carbone.
Randolph here says, you know, as he's, trying to mollify his brother, he's like, no, we're in the middle of a very important scientific experiment. And so, like, I think we've mentioned this before. Like, is he planning on, we're going to record our findings and publish it, and people will laud us as geniuses. Yeah.
My brother and I fucked over 5 people, and here's the here's the study.
Yeah.
It's going to be published in Ebony Magazine as well as Ivory Magazine.
Yes.
They're going to publish
it. I mean, if they were like 200 years earlier or something, they probably could have done exactly that.
But you know
what,
though, Tom, when he says, we're doing this experiment, I look over at his brother and expect him to roll his eyes like he just said we're doing the skeleton of Quinto. Right. And he doesn't. He nods like this. He's like,
you kind of nod. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, he bought into it. Eyes. No, he's bought into it. Yeah, it's a scientific experiment.
He's going to make that dollar. He's excited.
Yep.
I know this is audio, but I noticed that Mike is kind of dressed like a beatnik today.
I have a sweater
on. A little bit.
Black
it's
sweater.
It's black like sweater, but it's got the tight black sweater with the tight sleeves, you know?
Yeah. I got black jeans on, too.
We don't believe in discipline, man.
We're all out of ideas.
Gene Krupa.
Beatniks. All right.
I hate my parents. Good deed. What?
I hate my parents. Post office.
And
the post office.
Oh, I made an amazing discovery about this movie. Well, I was noticing that all the guys, you know, we see the big room. I don't know what that room is called. It's not like a conference room. It's not like a ballroom. It's like
What's this meeting? Like, what is this meeting?
It is weird. Like, they call this meeting just to, like,
or is it a regular meeting?
Can see that.
Is it a two, like, do they have like a weekly gathering at the Heritage Club? Yeah, which they includes probably everybody at the Heritage Club.
They probably have all of the executives. Yeah, all the executives meet, and I assume it's just a state of the company type meeting or something.
But it's a club. It's not even the company. Yeah, it's not the company. Like, everyone's just hanging out reading their newspapers.
Oh, it's not. I always figure it's like in cahoots. I guess you're right. Yeah.
So this is like if it was. So this is like if it was the Soho House, right? Soho House in Chicago, where all these hipsters have little memberships, and they go there with their little leather bags and drink and maybe do a steam.
I don't know. And then they would
sauna.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like it's in the West Loop, and it's where all, you know, it's a cool. It's where the cool guys hang out.
Okay.
Bring their dates, but it's a membership only. But thinking if it's, is this like a monthly meeting of, you know, the
it seems
the,
sort of
the
like
board
the gong
of the Heritage
off.
Club or something.
There's that gentle gong that goes off, and everybody, like, without even thinking about it, just folds their papers and stands up and goes to their. They know what to do.
Must
so it does
just
seem
be,
like,
yeah, updates. You know, club updates.
Yeah,
and you have a
someone's
gong.
Been
and
leaving
then,
their sauna towels Jesus in the wrong Christ pile, and we will not have it.
Go ahead, Mike.
You have the gong, and then you hear da 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 dun 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 dun.
Da 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 dun 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 dun. I like a
soft Heritage
gong.
Club is going to Japan.
Let them play. I love a gong.
Gongs
like
are good.
A soft gong. Like really I like it, the softness of that gong. It's not jarring. You'll never. It's like a soft gong will let you know that something either funny or important has happened, or that some wisdom has just been said. But it will you'll never be shocked or surprised or off-put
not like
by
an
it.
It's not like an Alex Van Halen gong behind his Ludwig drum set. He lights the thing on fire and just starts bashing the shit out of it.
Bow,
bow, bow. I feel like this gentle this gong
boom, boom,
alerting
boom,
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And that's our show.
And what's his name shows up on a big inflatable microphone bouncing on it.
Whoa! What's the teacher going to look like this year? Whoa!
We talked about that. We must have talked about that video where the audio is the pre-recorded.
It's all pitched wrong.
It's on the wrong pitch when they're doing jump. Van Halen's doing jump.
Right.
And he comes out at a big inflatable microphone. He's bouncing up and down. And Eddie can't keep the guitar in tune with the – he's trying to bend the notes. And it's
to get to the mess
awful.
Up.
We got to post that.
Well, he was – that was in his solo video too, just like Living in Paradise. He's – riding a big inflatable phallic microphone.
That's
because he was crazy from the heat. That explains that.
He was the best.
I feel like there's something about the gong going off and everybody gets up and like knows what to do. That's reminding me of some movie or show or something, and I don't know what it is. And maybe something
like
can help me out in the audience. It's like that. It's like Logan's Run or Star Trek. I don't know. Some like some it science fiction-y thing where people are like alerted to some
it's
thing.
It's time to go meet at the
at the computer that's your god
We've
or something.
Seen this
it's like
trope
some Bohemian before. Grove thing.
Yeah. Bohemian Grove. They would do that. Yep. There'd be a gong hanging in the woods.
Oh, but my big discovery that I made. We're watching the scene in this ballroom or whatever it is, this conference room. And of course, every single, we've probably noticed this before without saying it, every single, I don't know what, butler, servant person is an elderly black man. That was my first note. I was like, okay, I'm not shocked by this. This is kind of like how it works, I guess. We've already seen Ezra and stuff. But I was looking up the cast for something else, and I realized that one of these guys, I don't know who he is in the movie, but Robert Earl Jones is one of these guys. And he is James Earl Jones's dad, and he makes the second person who's also in The Sting from this movie, because everybody Ezra was in The Sting.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Which one is he? Who is he?
I have no idea. I don't know. I just know that he's in this movie as one of the Heritage Club dudes. And there's a picture of him, but I can't place where, like, what scene he's in or anything. But he's one of these army of elderly black gentlemen who are the, you know, butlers or whatever.
The help.
This club. Yeah, the help. Maybe he got $5 too. I don't know. Good for him.
By myself.
by myself.
I don't know what to say about that, but
I don't either.
I enjoy
Thanks for
it.
That, Tom.
I didn't say you were going to care. I just said I was excited about it.
I like to keep it up, Tom.
Keep doing what you're doing. It. We're all proud of you.
We like when you add the little movie stuff, and then that leads us right directly into trivia.
I don't have son of a bitch. Oh, look at
son
that.
Of a gun. Jesus.
Wow.
Pizza.
It's like he felt me reaching for the box.
Oh.
The flop sweat starts when I make a boring point, and then I reach right for the...
He does a boring point.
reminds me of what I used to hear in my house all the time when you're son of a bitchin' bastards.
Son of a bitchin'
No, it was
all right.
Son of a bitchin' bastards. It was that.
Son of a bitchin' bastards. Okay.
Son of a bitchin' bastards.
No.
Speaking of son of a bitchin' bastards, we got Trivial Pursuit Hollywood Flicks.
Hollywood Flicks, indeed.
From 1989. Top four answers on the board. What city's police department does Wes Block toil for in Tightrope? That is
San Francisco.
A Clint Eastwood movie. Clint Eastwood usually says San Francisco to me. Oh, that is not the answer. Dan, do you have any idea?
I'm going to go with on that one, New York City.
It is New Orleans.
Ooh.
That's a good movie, as I recall.
Tightrope.
What did the 1938 movie A Yank at Oxford become when it was remade with Rob Lowe in the starring role?
A Yank at
Saint
Oxford.
Fire.
Oh, wait a minute. No. That's... Hold on.
St. Elmo's Fire.
A Yank at Oxford.
I want to say...
What's the movie?
Oh, I've heard of this movie, and it's never... I would never have thought of it.
Is it like it Up is. The Academy or something?
It is Oxford Blues.
Never heard of it.
It rings a bell, but who knows?
I've heard, turnaround
it
in it?
A bell.
Did it have a turnaround in it? I'm going back to Oxford.
I got the Oxford blues. So bad.
Oxford blues. I left my cravat at home. And my shoes.
What movie features hit person Irene Walker? Good grief. I have no idea. I recognize the name of the movie. I haven't seen it. I know what it is, but I had Pritzi's Honor.
Oh, I recognize the name of that movie too, but I've never seen it. But I've seen the name enough where it might be pretty good.
It's probably good. It's got your Jack Nicholson. It's got your John Huston.
I'm in. John Huston, I'm in.
Yeah, come on. What real life doctor agrees that Tracy may have seen God in Oh God Book 2?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Real life doctor. It's got to be Joyce Brothers, right? Who we talked about before?
It has to be Joyce Brothers. Joyce Brothers.
Or Dr. Ruth. But it's probably Joyce Brothers. It is Joyce Brothers.
I knew it. God, what an idiot she is then for saying that. Dumb.
I think you saw God.
In my professional medical opinion.
You probably saw God. Yeah.
You saw God.
There's no other explanation.
Who invented medicine?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
Who blessed us with medicine?
Who blessed us with medicine and gave it to us in 1830.
Yeah, along with fire.
Right.
What are the crew of the Enterprise trying to save in Star Trek IV?
Oh, that's the Wrath of Khan, because as we know...
So what
Star Trek 2 is where they go back to the San Francisco.
I cannot tell if Dan's trying to be funny.
I'm trying to be funny.
He doesn't know. Okay. He doesn't know.
No, I do know. I'm trying to be funny.
He does know. He absolutely knows. He is being
funny. What are they trying to save? Earth.
Yes.
Whales.
I mean, that's
whales.
That's actually the correct answer. They're trying to save Earth, and they're trying to do it by way of saving the whales. Yes.
The whales?
The whales.
The answer
I saw
says
this
whales,
stupid-ass movie.
But they're doing that as a way to save the Earth.
The actual whales?
They go back in time.
Yeah, it's all whales.
The whales are extinct by the 23rd century, so they go back in time and save two humpback whales. Which, how are they going to repopulate the species with only two whales?
It's going to be all fucking, let me tell you something, that's going to be one inbred group of whales.
There's going to be some stupid humpback whales.
That hump is not supposed to be that big on their back.
Well, that's how you got the narwhal.
And that's not his back either.
That ain't his back.
How'd they get that? How did they pitch that?
It was like a Leonard Nimoy, hey, save the whales, environmental sort of thing.
Oh, it was a Bilbo Baggins thing.
That's
a good movie.
Real lemon.
Bilbo Baggins. What gangster spoof did Mary Lou Henner say she wanted a part in because she'd get to sing, take a bubble bath, and wear Barbie doll clothes?
Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, my God. You're good. Johnny Dangerous.
I know that movie well. My mom
loves
it. It's good. It's funny. Yeah. It's very silly in that kind of airplane way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe Piscopo is in it.
You son of a bitchin' bat. Was it like a son of a badger?
And then that's the guy that spoke in the villain is
Malone.
He's a bargain, I told. Yeah, he's from he's a European gangster, but it's hard to tell what country he's from or something. So he's always like, "You fargan ice hole."
Yeah.
You violated my fargan rights. He gives a speech in court. You violated my fargan rights.
I think by osmosis, I know about half of this movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's and then Michael Keaton is in it, who I always love. He's very charming and very funny.
Mm-hmm. You said Joe Piscopo.
And Joe Piscopo. Well, Joe Piscopo is one of the bad guys.
Yeah. Joe Piscopo is...
I quote this movie even though I've never seen it, because isn't it like a guy once hung me on a hook once.
Once. That's a running gag.
You remember when Joe Piscopo started lifting weights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like on Muscle and Fitness magazine, and he became like... And then he would come back and try to do his his little shticks.
It's weird when people get all buff. Like... It's weird when people get all buff because it's like that happened with Carrot Top too.
Carrot Top
is all ripped and everything. It's just so weird.
Yeah, like wiry ripped.
Yeah, like he looks like all bumpy and weird. He's like a humpback whale.
Like a third generation humpback whale.
He does. He looks like two humpback whales that were brother and sister because no one on the Enterprise thought this through. Two humpback whales humped and then. And then they made a worse one, and then that worse one got together with his sister, and then they had somebody who has all kinds
Racer
of covered in humps and veins, and worst of all, he's a prop comic.
Well, the whole point is, if you're a prop comic and you lift weights out, you know, during that, you're done with prop comedy at that point, right?
Right.
Nobody wants to see a.
You just have really heavy props.
You don't want to see some muscleman, pulling a. Pulling props out of a fucking trunk.
You're supposed to see a weird nerd in a basement. Yeah.
Except
like,
for people really do
things.
Want to go see him because I think he's got residencies in Vegas and stuff. He's at the pinnacle, in a way, the pinnacle of comedy. Because it's not like you're not going to get the critical acclaim, but you're going to have entire theaters full of tourists every single night, one after another, and you're just going to be making gajillions of dollars and living in a giant mansion.
I would like 10 Carrot Top fans to explain themselves to me. To like, why did you enjoy that performance just now? Explain
that is
yourself.
Weird to watch Carrot Top for 45 minutes. I feel like it might be fun. if you go to a showcase, which is like most shows I do are like showcases. You know, it's like six comics, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, like that.
Yeah.
If one of them is a prop comic, it might be delightful.
Yeah.
But then you go back to the observational comedy.
Right.
You're watching them for headline, though, 45 an hour. It's crazy.
How many uses for a funnel can there
and
be?
And I'm looking at, I just pulled up like a from his Vegas show. He's got literally, you know, how like he's on stage and it's like Metallica, but instead of the wall of Marshall stacks, he's just got a wall of trunks and they're all open.
He can go wherever he wants. He's been developing the act for so long.
Yeah. Well, it's just like he's got. Then they look like amplifiers, and they're just open. They're just open. I see six of them right there.
That's crazy. He has a funny. I heard a thing recently about him. An interview that he was on. It was a very good interview where he was talking about. He has all these funny Gallagher stories.
Because
he and Gallagher have clashed quite a bit.
Oh really?
Because Gallagher would always think that. Well, he was sort of his. He was like his inspiration and mentor, but then like Gallagher is such an he was such a prick. It's such it's impossible to get along
with.
That like he has all these funny stories about meeting up with Gallagher right before Gallagher died in Vegas, and Gallagher was like yelling at him and all this stuff, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" He's just one of these things.
He's a Salieri to Carrot Top's Mozart.
Exactly. And then like, after yelling at him for like 15 straight minutes, he's like, "Hey, I got this steamroller, giant steamroller made of foam. You want it?" he's like, "You want to keep it? It's funny.
You're the only person I can think of who could use this."
This was Gallagher?
Yeah. It was just such a funny story because it's just like the only two guys in the world who could use something like that. He had it custom made. It's a gigantic steamroller that's made of foam so that when you run somebody over, like nothing bad happens. Wow.
Yeah. I don't sanction what you're doing because it's a ripoff of me, but hey, do you want the steamroller?
Yeah, he's like, you ripped me off.
What else am I going to do
with
it?
You stole my jokes. You did this. You took my act. You did this. You fuck you. And you won't let him talk. You won't let him finish. Blah, blah, blah. And at the end, hey, you want this?
Yeah, just take it.
Well, this is a complicated murder plot, and it's actually a real steamroller, and he gets murdered on stage.
Oh,
and kills
right, and it was the old switcheroo. Yeah. Someone switched out the regular steamroller with the other, the foam steamroller.
This styrofoam steamroller is very heavy. I'm a little concerned.
But it's Carrot Top. He can lift it now, so he doesn't notice.
That's true.
He can lift both steamrollers because he's so strong now, which causes problems.
So sad.
So in closing, don't lift weights.
Yeah.
Don't smoke. Whatever you do, don't smoke.
Those kids sure smoked.
They sure smoked.
Better go slow.
My fans' parents,
well, after my
died.
Robert Earl Jones revelation, I don't have anything else for this minute. What do we do?
Do another. We didn't finish trivia, though. We're still in the middle of it.
That was it.
That was the end of trivia. I mean, unless you want to do another card.
Do one more. Those cards sucked.
Okay. One more.
All right. We'll do one more this time.
We'll get right through it. What madcap 1963 Stanley Kramer comedy inspired 1987's Million Dollar Mystery? That has to be
Mad World.
How many mads are that, by the way?
Once they say madcap.
According to this card, four mads.
Don't you hate it when you play Trivial Pursuit and someone don't want to give you the answer because you used five mads?
Well, actually, I don't know.
Shut up. You know that I know the answer.
I'll tell you, one of the greatest things was when John of the Winters takes apart that garage.
Oh, the best.
That was great.
And then Wallace Shawn.
I love Wallace Shawn.
I'm coming, Mom.
Wait, Wallace Shawn? Oh, no, Dick Shawn.
Dick Shawn. Yeah. I do love Wallace Shawn, though.
Yeah, but Dick Shawn, too.
All the Shawns are great.
I'm coming, Mom.
What trio trumpets its skills in TV commercials with the line, "We're ready to believe you"? That is Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. Trumpets.
Where did the Big Chill's Nick lose his libido? Oh, didn't he like, wasn't he like shot
behind the couch?
And he
yeah, I was going to say where?
Between the cushions. Probably his penis, right?
I think his penis he lost it, mostly where it gets channeled
lost it
through.
In the groinal area.
He left his libido in Vietnam.
San Francisco. Yeah.
Where it's now floating around the in the bay.
Yeah.
It's now trapped in a cage in Hanoi.
He had a full libido till he had to go down one of those tunnels.
That's right. That snapped it right out of him.
Yep.
What's the first name of the character Jennifer Beals played in Flashdance? Christ, if I have any idea.
Oh, fudge. I don't.
You might as well ask me what Matthew Modine's character name was in Vision Quest.
Yeah, let's
say
go with,
different.
Let's go with Carrie.
Yeah.
It is not Carrie. Mike, do you want to take a wild stab in the dark?
No.
Alex. Is that because she's a welder or whatever she is? So it's like a dude's job and she's like a lady?
I don't know. Alexander the Large.
What movie cast Meryl Streep as an actress named Anna playing the part of a woman named Sarah? What? Is this going to be like French Lieutenant's Woman or something, or Sophie's Choice? Not Sophie's Choice, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be fun if it was Sophie's Choice.
I don't know. Should I be Anna or Sarah? Should I? I'm Anna.
I chose the other one.
I choose you. She thinks she said that to her son at the end of Sophie's Choice. She goes, "I choose you, choose you." That's how she chose him. She gives him a card with a train on it.
Meanwhile, the daughter's
like, "Oh."
Why am I in this?
Here's the moment you can see your heart breaking. Say it again. Okay.
What movie cast Meryl Streep as an actress playing Anna, playing the part of a woman named Sarah? The answer is, I think I said this, French Lieutenant's Woman. I have no idea what that is.
You did say that.
It's her and Kevin Kline. That's all I know. Again, osmosis, watching TV.
A freak.
Who played Conrad's parents in Ordinary People? That is Hawkeye Pierce and Mary Richards.
Alan Alda.
No.
No, the other Hawkeye Pierce.
Donald Sutherland. And Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay.
Who can turn the world on by shoving brand new French toast down the disposal just because her son doesn't want to eat it? And she's having a hard time. And that is the answer. And that is trivia.
Who
well done, everybody.
Hold on,
killed
with
it.
Her smile. Nothing day suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
Am I don't know if you guys will relate to this because I'm a little bit older than you, but when I see a sunny or a gray winter day in a park, I always think of the Mary Tyler Moore Show for some reason. Because I just like that 70s. It's usually kind of winter in that opening credits and
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's like a childhood 70s.
Well, it's just like this opening scene here.
Yeah.
In this movie,
yeah.
It's kind of funny how you saw, isn't it true of like the Good Times intro also or something where, and maybe it's just in my memory, but it seems like they didn't care what kind of day it was when they went out and did those shots.
Yeah.
They're like, it's gray, and they're like, ah, it's fine.
Eh. The music kind of
conflicts with
enough.
The Good Times.
Yeah.
Good
or does
times
it, like, feed into
song,
the
temporary low pressure front.
The great thing
I
is
need
the
to
lyrics.
Wear a
are
jacket.
Good times. Anytime you meet a pay. Oh, so good times are anytime you meet a payment. Good oh, times, sure. Anytime you need a friend. Anytime mm-hmm. you're out from under. In other words, you're, you know.
Yeah.
You met the
you're
payment.
Doing all right.
On the up and up. No, not getting hassled or getting hustled. Keeping your head above water. Making a wave when you can. Temporary layoffs.
Good
layoffs.
Good
times. Easy credit rip-offs. Scratching and surviving. hanging in and jiving. Good times. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good times.
Good times. Yeah.
Penned by Saul Turtletaub.
Oh, I knew it.
Whoever it was. I don't know.
Exactly.
If it was. Wait. Yeah. It doesn't say.
Irving Berlin. No. I don't know.
I don't know. What was,
classic
what was
Jewish problem in this country.
Yeah.
Trouble making those bills.
Yep.
I love that.
And now that
so many great black sitcoms made by Jewish people in this country.
Yeah, it was
it's so great.
Yeah.
I love
it. Sanford's on.
Most of them.
The guy that just died, right?
Norman Lear.
Norman Lear. Yeah.
Oh, the great Norman Lear.
He was the one. He was the Jew who ran Hollywood. That's the one.
He was the one. Now we don't know who's going to step up.
Yeah, I don't know if he named a successor.
I'm thinking Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, unless you guys have anything else, I think we shut this one down. This minute 34 of Trading Places. We nailed it. There's some big meeting happening. It's going to be exciting. We should all come back next week to find out what happens because it's going to be great, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone answer the call of the gong. Yeah, come back. Oh, we got to thank our patrons, our beautiful patrons who make this all possible.
At the very beginning.
You did. You thanked a couple of them. We actually thanked all of them, didn't we? We thanked Captain America and Mark Campbell and Mark Mattis. Thank you all. You're beautiful people.
You're adding to the
list. Your other pals over there.
Nathan Shuckman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damon on guard.
Bob Gresham.
Who, you know, don't care quite enough to get named on the show, but
who's
if you want to be
one?
Like these people. Huh?
Captain America, Mark Campbell.
Oh, I see
Mark
what
Mattis.
You did there.
Mark Mattis.
And another one.
That's what you do. You add them to the,
you can't
the
create
patrons to the...
The yeah. Mr. Man train. Well, no, that's for if you want to go above and beyond, that's like a $500 tribute one time payment.
Yeah.
Gets you into the. We got to think of it.
Once
you're
in the
be
Mr.
In the...
Man train, you're in forever. So
yeah, forever.
It's
right.
It's like getting a permanent plaque at the. Yeah.
Yeah. These episodes will come and go, but being in part of the Mr. Man train, that's for
Mr. Man.
But thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being part of the show and part of patreon.com/ditchdiggers. You heard me. Come back next time. We'll do more of this. Trading Places Minute, the end.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.